You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? This week's guest is Joe Lazauskas. Joe is co-author of the Amazon number one new release, The Storytelling Edge, How to Transform Your Business, Stop Screaming Into the Void, and Make People Love You, along with Contently co-founder Shane Snow. He's also the head of content strategy for Contently and executive editor of The Content Strategist, winner of the 2016 DigiDay Award for Best Brand Publication. A technology and marketing journalist, Joe is a regular contributor to Fast Company and has written for Mashable, DigiDay, and Forbes, amongst other publications. Joe, welcome to On Brand.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks for having me. Has anyone ever told you they have like the perfect podcast voice?
Well,
I feel like you got plucked out of the NPR ranks.
I will take that. We'll go with that.
Much better than my nasally voice this morning, fighting a little bit of that winter New York cold.
I think I'm disproportionately better when it comes to reading bios. So that's
one of your skills. Can I endorse you for that on LinkedIn?
I was gonna say I would take that if that's still a thing. Bio reading. Bio reading for audio podcast. I should just do that. You know, I could be like Jimmy Fallon's guy that stands over there with the glasses, and I read and announce things. And enough.
That's good money, man.
Worst ways
to make a living.
I think so, especially when you talk about Segway Alert, all of this content creation that's going on online. If you're just reading bios, that sounds a lot easier than all of these other things that brands are charged with these days.
Yeah, I'd say so. You know, if only just putting out bios would work, but that's the thing, is that every brand kind of wants to do that, right? They just want to talk about themselves. They just want to say who they are, the bios, who their executives are, and you know, it'd be great if that was enough to build a brand and to actually make people care about you. But unfortunately, it's not. You need a really good story about who you are, about what you care for. And, you know, Segway Alert, that's what my book's about.
I was going to say, you have seen my initial Segway and raised me a killer follow-up Segway as well. And, you know, in looking at, if I was to be some sort of online machine that could parse a paragraph-long bio, I would say probably the words mentioned most are story and content. So these are things that sound similar, and they're definitely related, but just in really unpacking this, what is the relationship between story and content? Because I feel like most of us, and apologies to anyone who might be behind, we've gotten the content memo, but story, that's a harder lever to throw. You know, content, I can make that. I can create blog posts, videos. What is this story of which you speak, and why do I need to bother with it?
So I'd say you're right. Everyone has gotten the content memo. You know, everyone is embracing content to some degree at this point, but very few brands are doing content well, which is where the story comes into play. So there was this study last year by Beckin, or in late 2016 by Beckin, that showed that 5% of all branded content gets 90% of the attention. So what that tells you is that there are a few brands doing a really good job of creating content, and they're garnering 90% of all engagement with all branded content. So while there's a lot of content being produced out there, a lot of it just, you know, let's be real, isn't very good. A big reason for that is that a lot of it is just content and not a good story. So it is words in a blog post format. It is talking heads talking about their product in a very dry video, but not a lot of thought is being put into what is the actual story we are telling and the great tenets of storytelling. And that's one of the main things that we wanted to do in this book. There's so many marketers now who are tasked with creating content, but they don't come from a storytelling background the way that I do or my co-author Shane does. And so the first half of the book is really about the art and science of storytelling, how stories work in our brains, how they light our brains up. When we hear a good story, the neurons in our brains actually fire at 5 times the capacity. They bring us in, they engross us. And when we hear a really good story, it triggers the release of an empathy drug called oxytocin. And when you have these two things happening together, our brains firing up and this empathy drug being released, what happens is whoever we're hearing the story about, be it a protagonist or be it a brand that's telling us that story, we retain more information and we actually start to develop feelings for that brand. We develop empathy for them. We develop a connection with them. And that's what a really great story can do, is ultimately and that's ultimately the purpose of all this content we're creating. However, when you look at the branded content landscape, the content marketing landscape, a lot of the content that's being put out there isn't actually telling a good story about you or your customers or the things that your brand cares about. It's just words that have often been scrubbed out of any pizzazz or voice or meaning on a page, or it's a talking head in a video telling you about how great a brand is, but not actually telling you a story. So that's really what we wanted to teach more than anything else, is how marketers can embrace these tenets of storytelling, and so that it's that content is actually working for them.
So where do you get started with something like that in terms of embracing the tenets of storytelling that are going to help you tell a better story?
So we have a lot of different frameworks in the book that we've, you know, time tested over the years, working through in content strategy presentations and workshops with marketers that we find work really well. One of them is simply to understand the 4 elements of great storytelling. I always recommend this as a really good place to start. Those 4 elements are relatability, novelty, tension, and fluency. So with relatability, when we think of a story, we can't have a universe that's too far out there, right? You really need to bring someone with a story that talks about a world that they can relate to or a situation they can relate to. Even when we think about something like Star Wars, one of the greatest stories of all time, Star Wars really works is because George Lucas deliberately tried to trigger a lot of nostalgia for 1950s Americana. When you see the ships, when you see the fashion, it conjures a lot of elements from the 1950s. And that's so even when people were transported to this weird, crazy world, it brought them in. You can reply the same thing with talking about common challenges you might face in a B2B organization or at work, but you want to bring in these elements of relatability. You don't want to start talking to people or telling them a story without some point of common ground. The next element, however, is novelty. So there's sort of this Venn diagram between relatability and novelty. You want a story to be relatable, but you also don't want it to be too similar or too boring. You want to bring in new elements. So when we hear or see something new that we'd never heard or thought of or gone before, our brain lights up again. This is an evolutionary instinct from when we were huddled on campfires and chasing woolly mammoths, when a new element came into our tribe or into our area, that our brains would light up, that we'd pay attention. But you don't want to be too weird so it's not relatable and our mind just shuts it off completely. So you want to find that sweet spot between relatability and tension. And then there's this element of tension, which Aristotle said, famous quote, that the key to a great story is constantly bridging the gap between what is and what could be, and opening that gap and closing it over and over again. So thinking about all of your greatest movies, right? There is the state that is for the protagonist and what he or she is aiming for. And then often they accomplish that, but then something new opens up, a new challenge. And they have to close that gap over and over again, keeping the audience on the edge of their seat until the climax and the final resolution. And the last one is fluency, which is basically breaking down the barrier to entry for your audience. So if you look at some of the greatest writers in history, J.K. Rowling, Stephen King, Ernest Hemingway, Fitzgerald, they all wrote at elementary or middle school grade levels. They made it very easy for their audience to get engrossed in the story. When you look at something like Star Wars, they used a lot of quick shots that kept our attention. They made it very easy for you to follow the film and follow the action. Making it as easy as possible for your audience to understand you, speaking in plain colloquial language, not using jargon and academic terms and overly complex sentences for the sake of sounding smart, is a really big key to telling a great story. And when we go back to tension, you know, this doesn't always have to be like in Star Wars or an action film or a Die Hard movie. You can even think about this in terms of your client case studies, right? Where you want to set up the challenge and the problem, but in actual tension of what these protagonists are trying to get to. And we found that once you really ingrain and think about every story that you're writing and scoring it against these four elements, you'll start to see that your stories are getting better, that you actually have tension in your stories, that there's an actual plot and a narrative. You'll be able to check against whether you are just using jargon and academic writing and long, you know, flowing sentences with tons of comma phrases that are hard to follow. You'll check against that and see if you're making your stories as simple as possible. And we found that that's a really, really good place to start.
That's awesome. I love that, you know, everything about that framework, the elements there. I'm going to venture a guess and say that in talking with businesses, practitioners at employing this, that one that could potentially seem very scary, like relatability, we love novelty, fluency, yes, easiness, but tension. Is that something that is scary for businesses to look at baking into the stories that they're telling? Most of the time we want to alleviate tension. We want to round out those sharp edges.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think this is the biggest problem I see in a lot of brand storytelling is that they don't want anything bad to happen. I'll give you an example of an anonymous brand that I worked for. Years ago, they were an outdoor clothing company and they wanted adventure travel stories, but in the stories, no one could get wet. They sold waterproof clothing, but they didn't want anyone to get wet in the stories because they didn't think that would be on brand. It's impossible to really tell stories of travel and adventure where no one even gets wet at any point. And it's this weird, I'm afraid to lose my job instinct that a lot of marketers have. So you absolutely have to get past that. But just because there's tension in a story doesn't mean that that can't be really advantageous to you. So, you know, some of what we've done in building our own content marketing is talking plainly about the problems in our industry, just as I'm doing right now. I'm talking about how there are issues with the way that most brands are creating content and huge tension that builds up inside organizations. And then we talk about how to solve those problems and use stories of brands and the challenges that they face battling with legal or, you know, advertising departments or other silos within their organizations, telling those stories and how they overcame them. As I said, you know, a minute ago, it's a great thing that you can leverage in your case studies. Position your brand as the hero. Set up a story of one of your clients or, you know, a challenge that you went through yourselves, and then talk about the different trials and failures that you had to try and solve that problem before finally coming to a resolution. This is what's authentic and real to people. As humans, we fail. We try and we fail over and over again. We shouldn't be afraid to tell those stories about our businesses. Not everything is hunky-dory and perfect all the time. In fact, if any brand tells you that their products and everything goes smoothly 100% of the time, that everything is perfect about the industry that they're selling into, that's a reason not to trust that brand, because you know most of us can discern that they're lying. But if you tell really genuine stories, that's how you build trust for your brand and build an audience of people who are loyal to you and want to follow you.
Well, and I also, you know, think that you get into the example that you were talking about of the company that didn't want to show anybody wet, and waterproofing is ultimately what you're selling, but the problem that you're face, or that that customers, potential customers are facing, is very much grounded in making the idea of that wetness, the state we don't want to be in, you got to visualize that. And leaving that out takes some of the teeth out of your story that it needs, is what you're saying.
Yeah, or else you're just someone walking around in waterproof gear for absolutely no reason on a sunny, you know, hot day. It's just crazy.
So thinking about the four elements, and you know, as someone else that's put together, you know, tons of case studies in a book, is there one that jumps out to you as a great example of here's a brand that has all four of these elements working in a pretty amazing way?
You know, one example that I love, and it's, you know, full disclosure, it's one of our early clients, but is Amex Open Forum. So we all know about Amex Small Business Saturday. But the reason that that became such a big thing and such a big movement is that American Express created this small business community and hub called Open Forum, one of the really early big content marketing plays that talked very honestly and genuinely about all of the different challenges and troubles that small business owners have. You know, they invited all of these entrepreneurs and small business owners to write for the site, to share their story, their challenges, and just built this huge community of content and discussion around that. That's one that I've always loved. Another example I'd really admire is GE Reports. So GE Reports is this blog that's run by Tomas Kellner. He's a former editor at Forbes, that basically goes inside and reports on the amazing innovation being done inside GE. So he goes and develops sources with different engineers working on jet engines and, you know, solar batteries, and talks to them about the developments and the challenges they're having in developing this technology, and then just reports on it very honestly in a very journalistic way on their blog. And this is branded content that commonly goes viral on Reddit because science nerds love it. Those are two of my favorite examples. That's not just, you know, a brand film or a one-off advertisement that captures that, but this kind of always-on activation of telling a brand story and telling the types of stories that are going to be really relevant to their target audience.
You, to follow up on the GE Reports example, you talking about a former editor from Forbes, did you say?
Yeah.
And you talk about reporting and developing sources internally. Your own background, you know, speaking of yourself as a tech and marketing journalist, in creating stories, in getting the story, is there something to the idea of marketers needing to be better journalists?
I think so. Or at least...
I say that out loud, and I'm not sure exactly what it means. So
yeah. So what journalists are really good at is asking the right questions to find the story, to find that narrative arc. That's what we're trained to do, right, is to suss out that story. Because, you know, when you're interviewing someone as a journalist, you have that classic story structure in your head. You know, what was the tension? What was the challenge coming into this? What is my opening and my lead going to be? then what happened after that? What problems did they run into, right? Who got in their way? Where was the conflict? And then we want to figure out what the resolution is or what the resolution might be that's going to help us wrap up the story. This, when you've done a lot of reporting, is just in your head for the moment you're doing the interview. And so you ask questions, whether you're interviewing, you know, an engineer down the hall or a salesperson down the hall from you to find out their story, or you're interviewing a customer for a case study, or you're going out and doing real reporting on, you know, what a brand in your field or that you want to write about is doing, or a protagonist that you're talking to might be doing. And this is something that, you know, we really believe in as Contently. We have a network of over 100,000 freelance creatives, many of them, you know, trained award-winning journalists throughout the globe who we match with brands through our content marketing platform. And they go and do reporting and create content from brands. And we find it's a really successful model because they are so well equipped with those storytelling skills. So I think as marketers, one, if you don't have those skill sets already, you really should consider bringing in a trained journalist. You know, a lot of journalists out there are looking to make the switch to content marketing because there has been so much good content marketing work that's come out, and it's become a more respectable transition for journalists. If not, if they want to do it themselves, I'd really encourage them to study journalism, to try it out. You know, the best thing you can do, in addition to taking a class or reading a textbook, is to go out there and try and tell those stories yourself and see how it performs, see the reaction that you get. But those skills are absolutely necessary if you want to be a successful brand storyteller today.
I think that's great advice. And on that note, outside of The Storytelling Edge, the new number one release on Amazon, what other resources would you point story-driven marketers to? I love the idea of studying journalism. Is there a, you know, a book, a documentary there, a class, a workshop that you point people towards?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I wouldn't say there's one catch-all resource, right, to learn it, but I think there's some great resources out there. Everybody Writes by Anne Hanley yes. is one of the hallmark content marketing books that I recommend anyone out there read. You know, had a really big influence for me when I was making the transition from journalist to content marketer, I suppose. I think reading like any New Yorker collection of just great essays and storytelling are something that I'd recommend for anyone. I think that you can learn a lot from checking out some of the content marketing blogs that are doing a really good job. I think there's a lot of great stuff on HubSpot. I think CopyBlogger's blog is really, really good. I think TrackMaven really, you know, is a great example and has a lot of great lessons on there. Influence & Co. Those are some of the publications that are always on my short list, as well as just studying what really good journalists in your field are doing. So I think there's a lot to learn from folks who are reaching the same audience that you're trying to reach, but in a more editorial or journalistic way. So say if you're a finance company and you want to reach the type of people who read the Wall Street Journal, study how the Wall Street Journal does their storytelling. You know, say for us, you know, Digiday is someone who had a lot of the same audience as us. So when I was taking over our blog and trying to build our audience, I definitely took notes and, you know, looked at through third-party analytics tools what was working best for Digiday, not so I could copy them, but so I could see common trends that I could remix for our own purposes. I think there are so many good stories and so many good storytelling lessons out there. There's not one source, but once you start really reading and watching things with an eye for what great stories look like, you'll start to pick up lessons that you wouldn't have before.
I love that advice, you know, beyond some 101 book or a class. I think your whole point reinforces that idea of you know, really looking for what you're trying to do in some unlikely sources. I mean, I used to, you know, read only marketing books, and I've over the past couple of years tried to alternate back into fiction, because I think that it could seem like it's work related, non-work related, and I think that the fictional stuff, the idea of a New Yorker collection, I think that it feeds those same skills, and especially your note about parallel audiences, that, you know, not to copy the journal, but to if that's where your audience is and that's who's attracting them, look at the construction, look at how they're doing that.
Yeah, and also look, I think that, you know, it can be great, you know, a great guide for understanding what are some of the emerging formats that are working. So, you know, Vox's short form motion graphic explainer videos that go viral. Yeah. Really cool data visualizations that Bloomberg does. Like these are lessons that marketers tend to not take from editorial publications until years later when those formats are kind of stale and dead and not working anymore. Yeah. But if you actually are paying attention and can be, you know, you're probably not going to be the first comer, but the second comer, you can be really successful by taking notes early on from how those editorial operations are experimenting. And yeah, I mean, to your point, like, you know, go and read Frank Sinatra Has a Cold, one of the best essays ever. For me, I think the writer who influenced the way that I still tell stories and had the biggest impact on my education was David Sedaris, who's just a completely, you know, ridiculous nonfiction humor writer, but the way that he constructed his essays and just very subtly pulled you through the story taught me so much that has made my writing better than it was before. So yeah, to your point, find it everywhere.
Awesome. Well, I would ask you, as we're in the midway through the second month of a new year, what we need to be doing as content creators better this year. But I would wager to say it probably has something to do with story.
So I'll actually give you a different answer, because I talked about story so much. I think that the other big problem that brands have is really understanding their audience. So much content strategy, as it's being applied today, jumps into this question of, what story do we want to tell? And I actually think you need to start with, what does your audience care about? What are their challenges? What are their passions? What are they interested in? What type of content are they consuming online right now, and where are they consuming it? There are so many tools that we've never had before for understanding these audiences in a really granular way. The amount of emerging search and social tools at our disposal for a reasonable price is incredible. It's something that, you know, our content strategy team leverages every day. And this can give you really good insights about the creative box that you can play in to unleash your creativity by finding those small combinations of topics and formats that your audience really cares about and where there's a white space for you to enter the conversation and relate it back to your brand. I think that's one. Alongside that is the distribution question. Content inside so many organizations is siloed to where the goal is, let's put content up on a blog. That's not a goal. The goal should be to actually reach people with that content and build meaningful relationships with them. And that's why we need to do a better job of aligning content programs with other silos in the organization that might control social or email or brand advertising campaigns. So this content is aligned with the rest of the marketing messaging and is actually getting out there, as well as has paid media dollars behind it so people can discover it. You know, if you're going to spend $1,000 to produce a piece of content, you might as well spend an extra $100 to make sure that twice as many people see it, or $500 so five times as many people see it. And the tools we have right now through content discovery tools, through content distribution, through Facebook and LinkedIn might not be that friendly to brands organically, but the cost effectiveness and targeting on those platforms and ability to reach people with your content has never been better. Brands need to be leveraging that. And finally, you know, all this content needs to level up to more than page views and impressions. You need to start tracking how it's impacting business goals, because we're, you know, inside most industries, there's a new CMO every 18 months. And that CMO comes in and sees that you haven't tied your content to any meaningful lift in leads or MQLs or customer satisfaction or brand awareness. There's a good chance your program's going to get cut or nixed. So you need to actually be setting clear KPIs up front for your content and telling stories accordingly.
You really you served up a big plate of content marketing vegetables there at the end.
Yeah.
Audience, distribution, and meaningful business objectives. Those are great answers. Joe, as we wrap up, what is a brand that has made you smile recently?
So this is a tough one. I think I would choose TrackMaven. So TrackMaven is an awesome social competitive analytics tool. And at Content Marketing World a few months ago, in their booth, they had kind of playing on the idea of marketers just throwing things against the wall and see what sticks. They had this station where you put on goggles and you scoop your hand into a giant pot of spaghetti and you throw spaghetti against this bullseye to see what sticks. And, you know, in a conference like that where everyone is so self-serious, you know, you walk around and everything's about leveraging real-time personalization to optimize your marketing through the cloud, to have something that was like so fun and real and kind of self-deprecating like that was just awesome. And I love those guys. So, yeah, that really made me smile. And we need more of that. Like, we have to stop taking ourselves so damn seriously, thinking that to get, you know, enterprise customers, to get big customers, we have to talk in dry, complex language, that we have to be stale and buzzwordy and speaking this weird jargony tribal speak of office land. We need to break out of that. We need to you know, embrace our inner kid and just throw some spaghetti against the wall and have some fun, tell some stories.
I would argue, final segue alert, that it might not seem like a story, but I think that everything that you've talked about here on this episode, the four elements, everything else, is reinforced by this experience, by this story that they made people a part of for a few moments. And you talk about how that engages the brain and what they're going to remember. And I would say that that would probably do a lot to stand out. I'm guessing you weren't the only one that walked away remembering that.
Yeah, I think they were on, you know, a few Roundup posts, most awesome brand there. So, you know, props to TrackMaven and their 26-year-old Wonder Boy founder, Alan Gannett.
That is awesome. Well, Joe, where can folks go to learn more about you, your book, and everything else that you're up to?
Yeah, thank you for that opportunity to plug. The book website is thestorytellingedge.com. There you'll find a lot of deals and freebies that we'll send you for ordering. You can also find the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or Target or most major retailers' sites. We're recording this on February 12th. It comes out February 13th, so by the time you hear it, it should be available everywhere. And you find out more about me, I'd recommend just adding me on LinkedIn, Joe Lazauskas on LinkedIn. I post a lot of stuff there, post videos. It's the best place to engage with me.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes. Joe, thank you for joining us on Brand.
Nick, thank you.
And before we go, I always like to flip the microphone around to our community, but I'm doing it with the Storytelling Edge in mind. And that is because I am certainly seeing this book everywhere, including on Instagram, where one of our past guests, Melanie Diesel, had a copy of it and posted some great things about it. So I'll link up to her episode of this, and you can also check out the great things she had to say about the book as well. Last but not least, you can find links to everything that we talked about at branddrivendigital.com. You can also subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, and tune in. Speaking of iTunes, if you like what you're hearing, head over there, give us a quick rating and review, help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.